This is Fresh Air. The Clubfoot Orchestra performs new music for classic silent films. My guest is Richard Marriott, the orchestra's composer. He's written contemporary scores for The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari and Nosferatu. The San Francisco-based band has accompanied the films live and is heard on new video versions. They're on tour with those two films, as well as Fritz Lang's Metropolis, the latest film that Marriott has scored. The opening scene of Metropolis throws us into a futuristic city ruled by machines. We see interconnected gears turning at different speeds. Marriott reflects the mechanized movements in the rhythmic complexity of his score for Metropolis. You've chosen to write music for silent films that's very contemporary, and the music you're writing isn't in the manner of the silent film scores. Did you ever have any concern that there would be a clash of period and style?
I've had that concern, and at times I've gone out of my way to try to recreate at least my vision of the music of the 20s. However, I feel that the image itself is kind of an eternally avant-garde image in all of these movies. One that really doesn't date, one that could be made by a student filmmaker of today. And for that reason, I sometimes have found the music that was printed on the movie to be maybe too sentimental or too much looking backwards to Victorian times. And that's why I felt that all of these films could use much more modern music.
Well, does that help explain how you've made your choices of films that you'll write music to? Because you have really chosen films that were very progressive or avant-garde for their period and are very forward-looking visually.
And that's true. That is why I've chosen these particular films. In all cases, I feel that these films were kind of cutting edge in the vision of the director, and the music that was usually written for these movies was inordinately indebted to Wagner or other music of that time, and also associated with the usual manner of having a small orchestra play for a silent movie. And that would be taking popular semi-classical songs and more or less improvising on them. If the woman would be rescued, the young damsel would be rescued, they would launch into Ride of the Valkyries. And if the hero was somewhat of a schmuck, they would play it a little off tune and mix in some bad notes. And so they had a whole repertoire of cues that the audience would recognize. Meanwhile, the audiences have changed. They don't recognize those cues anymore.
I'm wondering if the narrative of the movies that you're scoring leads you to write music that you otherwise might not have written, if it suggests emotions that you otherwise wouldn't have thought about musically. And what I'm thinking is that, irony is the condition of postmodernism, and it's sometimes difficult removing the quotation marks from the things that postmodern composers write. But when you're scoring for a movie, you
yes.
really have to get into the emotion
yes,
of it.
Yes, and that's perhaps one reason I wanted to do movies so bad, is that it makes you take the quotation marks off what you do. In Caligari, there's a very pretty girl. That's what the movie says. This is a pretty girl. and here's two men who both want her. And putting quotation marks around this is not the intent of the movie, and it also, because of that, it lets us write music that perhaps is genuinely beautiful. But the challenge of this is to keep the edge on it so it doesn't ever become corny. Still have it be palatable. It's a very, very fine edge. But I feel that these movies have allowed me to write music that you wouldn't play in a dance club. You wouldn't even play in a concert stage. It's a whole different genre of music, perhaps, in terms of what's allowable.
Now, let me ask you about Nosferatu. It's such a beautiful, haunting, and death-absorbed movie. Now, there's a scene where, I forget whether it's Mina or Nina, invites the vampire to her room, knowing the only way to destroy him is to keep him at her bedside and until dawn breaks. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you to describe what you did musically there. It opens with these really screeching dissonances and goes into something else.
Nina waits for everyone to be asleep. So basically we have a somnambulistic calm in the music. It's extremely dissonant. And this, we add the instruments as if she's drawing the vampire into herself. The instruments join one by one and build this yearning, you know, this vampire who is driven by his lust to her. And then what we encounter is, as it builds and builds, we get into the vampire's mind, this overwhelming lust that is going to lead to his destruction. It's at that point that he loses control, and we go into this burlesque theme, which the audience, I'm sure, subconsciously identifies with being out of control. And so not only does it feel the part of the victim, like almost any other horror movie, but it also feels this overwhelming out-of-controlness that is going to, for certain, make the vampire stay past dawn.
I read that you played your first gig at a burlesque house.
That's true.
Is there a connection there between writing this kind of burlesque music for the vampire and what you used to play?
I'm sure it is. I'm sure the connection really is waking up as a child at night and listening to my father playing Count Basie records late at night. Not that Count Basie should be associated with burlesque, but especially some of his records of the 50s have this wonderful out-of-control feeling, where the rhythm section, though, is so precise and so perfectly balanced, and these trombones and saxophones on top of that are just totally out of control in a very controlled sort of way. And I'm sure some of this is waking up at night and feeling everything a child feels when they wake up at night and hearing this music.
I'm wondering if you were concerned that by using the burlesque theme for the real climactic moment of the movie that you might be putting some more quotation marks around the emotion there.
That might be. And I'm sure that some people have felt that. Some people have found that humorous. I don't find that humorous. I find it frightening.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Richard Marriott. He's a composer and musician with the group The Clubfoot Orchestra, and he's composed the scores for three silent movies, The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, Nosferatu, and the latest is Fritz Lang's Metropolis. More after the short break. This is Fresh Air. Composer and musician Richard Marriott is my guest. He's with the Clubfoot Orchestra, and they're touring now performing his silent scores, new silent scores, for the films Nosferatu, The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, and Metropolis. What was the first impetus behind you writing for a movie?
We had been playing dance clubs and concerts in San Francisco and California. And after seeing us one night, Jim Turner, a fellow who is the founder of the Duck's Breath Mystery Theater and also Randy of the Redwoods on MTV, and a friend of the band, saw us, and he said, "I have a great idea. Why don't you guys write for silent movies or for silent films?" What he meant was taking outtakes of 50s sitcoms or spy shows and found footage and gluing these things together and coming up with offbeat jazz, rock, classical soundtracks, I guess. The next day, though, I was watching television. They had The Evolution of the Horror Movie, and on it was The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. Little clips, enough for me to see the sets, enough for me to see the stylized emotions, but most of all for me to get the feeling of dread. And also, the music just popped into my head. A music that you could use dissonance, and it would express something to everyday people. You could use pretty melodies, and it would express things to your average person, your average moviegoer. It seemed like an ideal avenue to express many different kinds of music and many different emotions. And you'd be justified in doing it. You didn't have to have a reason for doing it because the film dictates it. The film dictates the reason.
Yeah, I find what you're saying very interesting because I was thinking, you know, watching one of your films and listening to the music, that this is the kind of music that if it were in a concert hall or in a performance space, probably wouldn't draw a really big crowd. A lot of people would think of themselves as, well, not liking that kind of music, too dissonant, too avant-garde. But match it with a movie, and I think people would just really fall in with it very quickly in a way that they might not, that they might be negatively predisposed to, you know, in a concert hall, because
exactly.
People have all these preconceptions about what they're going to like and what they're not going to like.
Exactly. And also, what we found out in the dance/concert setting is people would hear this music, and their feet might want to dance, but they wouldn't know how to dance to it. They wouldn't know if they were supposed to dance. And so sometimes some very good dancers would get up and dance to 11/8 time. And most people didn't know what to do. They needed a social context for this experience. The movie provides a great social context for it. And so I've found that very liberating.
Well, Richard Marriott, thank you very much for talking with us.
Okay, thank you, Terry.
Richard Marriott is composer and trombonist with the Clubfoot Orchestra. He's composed new scores for the silent films The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, Nosferatu, and Metropolis. The orchestra begins an East Coast tour this week in Worcester, Massachusetts, and then travels to Burlington, Hartford, Boston, Providence, Philadelphia, and New York.
Thank you.
Clubfoot Orchestra performing their new score for the Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. This is Fresh Air.